That's what I told her. And this, all these things is he knows. Of course, he cannot tell us, but he knows. And of course, you know, I never think that it will happen the next day. But anyway, this was. I went back home when Gu told us to go home. I went home and I was meditating. And at that stage of Gu's life, I think many disciples were mostly like before. I remember there was a time where we used to always kind of meditate or pray for our own thing, you know, Gu, please Gu, like this. But then there was a time where Gu was giving so much pain, you know, there, and then you started like it was not anymore about ours. It was more like Gu, you know, you felt so bad for Gu that he was having pain, and so we're always praying for Gu's health and for Gu's, you know, success or achievement, and I was really concerned for Gu's health. And so that night I was just praying on my shrine for Gu. And I remember I had a picture of Mother Kali on my left here, and I was just meditating and nothing was happening, but I was getting red color. I can't explain. It was just red color coming from Mother Kali's pictures. And that's it. I was just meditating as much as I could until I had to go to bed. But this was, I cannot explain.
Yeah.
It was just red, intense red from Mother Kali. But I was only looking at Gu. I didn't look at Mother. And then the next day, that's when I was in Nanam Brahma. It was a Thursday. I remember we were cooking Italian day, and I had a spatula in my hand when upstairs they call to tell us to close the restaurant. And I remember very well, as soon as they said that, I knew it, and I started crying. And I was crying so much, and that's the only time I cry, actually. After that, there was this incredible bliss of Gu's light, and this day, everything was in a blur, I can't even tell you. But I saw everybody's crying, but I felt Gu was showering us with his compassion, showering us with his love. It was like, it was terrible we lost Gu, but it was so beautiful, I cannot express to you in word. It was so beautiful, and I remember seeing people crying, and I was trying to console them, because I said, look at this, look what this Gu is doing. And it was like such a, yeah, you know, I mean, this is intense. I don't know if this can be taken, you know, because there's even things you can't even say. But, you know, when we passed by in front of Gu, and Gu was smiling, it was like this whole moment of love between all the disciples. Everyone felt such oneness, and there was this incredible, you know, shower of love that coming from Gu from above, and everybody felt it. Everybody felt like brother and sister. It was like a beautiful moment. That lasted for I don't know how many days, but for me it really, at that moment I knew there was no doubt that Gu is still there and he's still guiding us. And then the next night I had a dream, and then that dream was like very vivid. I was at the court sitting where the Paris group is sitting normally, and I remember Gu was in his couch just above, but the couch was facing not the temple, but it was facing to the Kailash new house, you know.
Yeah.
And Gu was sitting there, and first he was in a dhoti, and then suddenly he changed and he was in his short, very casual. And then he told me that I was so excited to see Gu, because of course, you know, he's there, you know? And Gu said that he will come back to me in the same way he used to come to me. And that's you know, and then that was it. I knew Gu, everything was fine. Gu will be, you know, he's still there. He's basically still there, and so it was like a really, it was a long dream that I cannot say everything, but it was really beautiful. And then after that, I'm in New York. I don't know if you could say that as well, but I don't have my paper. I'm a tourist in New York, and I'm on my balcony. That I remember exactly. That day was hilarious. It was maybe a month later. No, maybe more than a month. No, actually, in between, before that, yeah, no, that was in April, it was in May of the year. So the whole time before that, I had my birthday. So my birthday was difficult because it was only a month later. So I was definitely expecting to have experience. I remember I had this funny experience. I'm like telling you everything now, but it's hilarious. I was like in my house and I decided I don't want to answer the phone, so I took the phone out. I don't want to see anybody. I just want to feel something from Guru. So I'm in front of my shrine, basically like demanding, okay, now Guru, you have to show yourself. You know, yeah, this is my birthday. I have to feel something or whatever. And they're like totally crazy. And basically trying to feel something, but you know, it's like a bit nuts. So then I realized my mom may call me, and I took off the phone. So I put back the phone and pick it up to call my mom, because I figured I better call her so I can have the phone off. And at the moment I pick up the phone, there was this girl on the phone, and she calls me and she said, Dorini, I'm sorry to bother you. I wanted to call Ashrita. I have this real big problem. And I'm like, oh no. And I'm in front of my shrine and I'm like, oh no, what does she want? You know, like, I really don't want to hear anything. But anyway, so I'm listening, and her problem was a bit ridiculous. I don't know if I can say
No.
But anyway, it was a total stupid problem, which I couldn't believe that she would call Ashrita for. And I was thinking, wow, I'm really helping Guru and Ashrita at that moment. And I'm looking, I'm in front of Guru and I'm listening to this girl's problem, and I'm thinking, Guru, what are you trying to tell me right now? Because this is too bizarre. And so actually I have to tell you what was the problem, because it's related, but she had a constipation problem. And so that's my feeling. I'm looking at Guru and I say, what, are you trying to tell me that my heart is constipated or something? Because I don't understand why somebody will call for such a problem. It was ridiculous. But this, it was a divine joke. Guru wanted me to be lighted. I started laughing, you know? It was like a complete divine joke. I don't know if you get it, but
you know, I get it, because all of a sudden you're looking at the physical world around you, and someone's bothering you with a problem that's so absurd that...
It's so absurd, but also it's like you're just like, you're so intense wanting to have an experience, but you don't actually, your heart is not open, because you want something from your
you're
mind.
You're forcing it too much that it's not going
to
come
then,
anyhow.
You know, Guru had to like break it with a complete divine, like a joke, because this was totally ridiculous, you know, call. And so I had to burst into laughing afterwards, of course not in front of the girl, because poor girl, for her it was very real, but for me it was like a total, okay, Guru, you're making me laugh now, you know. So then this whole thing, like this whole, I got lifted, like this whole heavy weight, and so then I decided, back then it was 9 o'clock in the evening, you know. So I had a whole day with everything, and then I went to the smile and the panorama, and there was like, it was very nice, people celebrating my birthday, so the whole thing. But maybe you don't want to put that story. But what I wanted to tell you is that afterwards, that was my first experience really after, you know, of not knowing what I'm doing, and also, you know, wanting the feeling of to find out if Guru's coming to, you know, experience, to find out what we're doing, you know, what is going to happen after. It was my first kind of experience of really wanting something that, you know, and not knowing what I'm going to go. And then this, at the end of that experience, I felt like Guru is just, he wants you to be always there with him, and he's always there at every moment, and he's, you know, there was like a joke for me. And then later on, I just felt really, like, Guru is always there. And then maybe you want to put that story on, the next one, because that one, I'm afraid the poor girl, if she hears this, she's going to be embarrassed. But the other story is much better. I think after April, and I remember I had to go back to Geneva, because for my visa, I always used to go back to Geneva for 1 month or so. And I was in my home, and I had a balcony, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't have a job. I said, okay, well, Google's going to find me a job. So I was literally on my balcony about to hang my hammock. I had bought a hammock in El Salvador when I went with 70, and I was about to hook the hammock, and I get a phone call from Geneva saying, can you come right away? We need somebody. The manager of the shop decided to leave the shop, and we need somebody right away. to manage the shop. And I'm like, well, that's a little bit, you know, intense. I said I'll come for one, you know, in a month to help, but my life is in New York, so really I don't think I want to do that. But I'll see. I'll come for helping, you know, now. So I went to New York, to Switzerland, Geneva, and for the months. And then I had already planned on going the peace run in Canada, so I went to Canada. But while I was in Geneva, I really felt that was the right thing, to stay in Geneva. It was a real, you know, divine go put it together. And he put it really fast together, because it was coup passed in October 11 and it was in April. And suddenly it was like I'm becoming the owner, not the owner, the manager of a shop in Geneva. I don't even know how to send a fax, you know, but they put me in Geneva as a manager and the center leader. So that was like, okay, this is what you do. And of course in New York, everyone say, you can't do that, you know, guru put you in New York, you're supposed to stay in New York. And I knew in really deeply that was guru's plan for me. It was so obvious, but because people were telling you things like, well, you know, I don't think you should do that. You know, your friend, they try to help you a certain way. And
also you have all these friends and this group of people that are very close to, and then you're saying, no, now I have to go someplace else.
Yes, it was really, for me, it was clear that I had to go, but they planted a little bit, a little seed of doubt in me, you know, by saying you shouldn't go and all this kind of, so I remember I was at, maybe that was Father's Day, I'm not sure. I remember that I went to the court. And I was having doubt going back to Geneva. I felt really not sure. Many people was telling me not to go, and I was having doubts. And I went in a court, and the first I had this voice told me, play the lottery, you will win. And inside the court, they were playing Guru's locket. And right away, my mind said, oh, I don't need to play. I already have one, you know. So I didn't play. But then outside, on the driveway, they had another lottery, which was a picture of Guru. And I said, I totally felt so strongly about the playing this locket. I said, okay, I'll play that one. So I play, and then later, and then they called me that I won. And for me, it was like a total, you know, proof that you had, your feelings are at the, you know, I don't know how to express it.
Well, no, but you had the intuition or the thought.
You know, not to have doubt.
Just go ahead and do it.
It was, Gu shows you that when you have those feelings, they are real, you know, and the feeling that I was supposed to play, I will win, and I didn't play, but Gu gave me another chance, you know, and so I went to play with the other thing, and I won. So he gave me two chances to prove that my feelings are right. So this was, you know, that's how, to show me that I shouldn't have those doubts. Yeah. Which we were getting quite intense. I really was not sure. But Guru had to show me this way. And that's when everything went okay. I knew that I had to go to Geneva. So Guru is always in charge, and he's always showing you the way and different way, even though he's not in the physical. In fact, he's there even more, because he doesn't, you know, in the physical, he was somehow stuck with what he had to do with his disciple Aaron, but in the inner world, he can help everyone at the same time. I mean, he could do that before also, but, you know, like I'm saying, I don't know, you feel him all the time in presence. So he's there in every experience you do. And now I'm in charge of, you know, and you feel also like back then, you know, I feel like back then I was a kid, and I was learning so much from Guru, and I'm still learning, but I feel now that I want to, you know, like, the divine enterprise that I'm working on, it's so nice. You feel, even though maybe not disciples are coming, but the gurus hear, you know, the people hear Guru's name, they come to a place where they feel something different, special, and so you feel you're serving Guru in this way, and it's continuing. It's not the end, you know. Guru passed on the physical, but now you're manifesting Guru. Back, you know, back then I was manifesting, taking picture maybe. But everything is Guru, even your manifestation is Guru, you know. It's like he's giving you the opportunity to do those things, and then you have to take on the opportunity. And it's always changing, and it's always, it's challenging, and you always have to have faith. Like, faith is the major important thing, because right now, especially right now, I'm into a big, big change in my life, you know. I just lost my mother, and then they just told me that I'm going to lose my job because they want to close the shop. So in the same year. And so now, when I come back from this trip, I have to have this complete, basically, have no mind and just live the moment and now, and say, okay, I want to take on that job. I want to take the medal on me. So I don't know how to explain. Basically, I have no clue of what I'm gonna do, but I know who is gonna guide me. And the idea is that I take on the medal ball, because the medal ball is actually doing okay. They just want to close for some unknown reason to my. But I still want to keep on that the shop, because this is, I feel, this is a manifestation. We have a small group in Geneva, and I think that's the only way. Like, I can't see myself basically in a normal job. You know, what would I do? What's the point? I don't want to go backwards. I want to go forward. So it's more challenge. It's my life's going to be a lot more difficult, I can tell, you know, but I feel like that there's no other way. I have to go on with something that is related to guru, with guru. I cannot go on, you know, cleaning people's. I'm not expressing myself properly, but I'm saying that guru is always giving you new challenges, and it makes you grow, and it makes you find new things in your life to go forward and to have. To grow. So it's a constant change. I mean, nothing can stay the same. Some people think that, you know, guru is this way, but guru is constantly changing. I mean, God is changing, guru is changing, it's the same. And so it's new change for me.
Thank you so much. That's good.
Is it good?